Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Inert Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Tomorrow night on YouTube Live, the debate on God's relationship to time. We'll get to that later in today's program. Also, this morning, the KGOV Gender Commission issued its final report this morning. Let's see, we won't have time to share the bulk of their findings with you. But from the executive summary, let's see. There are two genders, and all the rest are mental illness, except for hermaphrodites, whom we should love and respect and pray for. Well, that's it. I assume there's more to this report than the... That's it. That's the whole report. I think we got ripped off. We didn't get our money's worth. All right, so the KGOV Gender Commission final report in today. And that's it, the executive summary. I can't find the rest of the report, guys. All right, see if you could find that for us. Also, today is International Women's Day. Got to talk about that. And there's quite the photo of one of Biden's nominees for, not a cabinet member, is it a cabinet? No, it's a... Assistant Secretary of Health, a tranny, Levin, and a guy dressed like a woman. And there's this funny photo of, this is in Pennsylvania, recent photo, all these bureaucrats, guys and women, and how many guys in the photo? One, two, three, four, five, counting the tranny, and two women. And it says on here, notice how all the men's toes point outward when they stand, and all the females' feet are parallel with each other. And so the two women, their feet are perfectly pointing forward, straight, parallel. And all the guys, their toes are pointing outward. Let me see, one, two, three, four, and five, the guy at the podium. You could barely see him. And the tranny, all their feet are pointing outward. It reminds me of when I was asked to debate a tranny. This is back in the 1990s, long time ago, at a Denver FM rock and roll station in studio. So two of our church members, Art and Alice, they own a mountain, by the way, Art's Mountain, and it's loaded with dinosaur fossils. Really cool. It's right near Dinosaur Ridge, just west of Denver. They own the whole mountain. So Art and Alice, I invited them to come along. Thought it could be of interest. And right before we go on the air, the tranny, a guy dressed as a woman, has a big gulp. Spills the big gulp flat right on the table. It just floods the studio table that we're sitting around. And what it does next betrays its actual identity. It took its purse, put its purse on the edge of the table, and with its hand and its arm, scooped the pop into its purse. Pop and purse, pop and purse, pop and purse. And then paper towels cleaned up. And this is all happening like 90 seconds before airtime. Pop and purse, pop and purse. So I get to point out to the audience who hears the disagreement on the air about who's right, that this guy who claims he's a woman is a guy because no woman in the world would scoop pop into her purse. Not one woman in the whole world would do that. And so it pulls out its driver's license and says, see, it says right there, female. And I said, clerical error. Another time I was asked to go on KNUS radio when there was a tranny also on the show. This was late night. The other was daytime. This was late night. And the tranny came with his daughter, who it was so sad to see his daughter and how she had absolutely no respect for herself, and clearly not for her father either, who's dressed like a woman. And so I asked the tranny on the air, all right, if you were on the Titanic and they said women and children to the lifeboats, what would you do? You know how he responded? He was enraged at the question. He would not answer the question. Why wouldn't he answer the question? So the KGov Gender Commission issued its final report this morning, executive summary. There are two genders. All the rest are mental illness. You see, we launched this commission in response to all the complaints from English as a second language students and all the immigrants coming here trying to understand how to read and write English, and they have 68 pronouns to deal with. 68. And they say, English is tough enough without this insanity. So, all right, so the KGov Gender Commission, all the rest are mental illness except for hermaphrodites. Okay. All right, and today is International Women's Day. Just to let you know, I'm sure it's already on your calendar for some celebration you've planned. Have you ever noticed the higher the percentage of people celebrate it by a commemoration, the less impact it has, the less significant it is? Like Christmas honors one person, and it's the biggest event of the year, Christmas. Veterans Day, what percentage of the population are veterans? About, it's under 7%. So that has a lot of significant meaning. Those who risk their lives so that we can enjoy freedom, which is gradually being downsized. But Veterans Day, hey, it's so meaningful for so many millions of people. But then there's, say, Labor Day. Oh, good. Let's celebrate people who work, right? Like all of us. And nobody cares about Labor Day beyond that it's the last barbecue of the year and you can't wear white until next spring. Beyond that, no one cares, not one whit, about Labor Day. What else do we have in the news here? This is so important. It's so tragic, and it corroborates one of the main points, like the first point in our list of 25 ways the shutdown kills people. Remember, we put out a YouTube video. We took our list of 25 ways. Fred Williams and I, Real Science Radio, we report on this list, and we took a Hollywood film on a pandemic in New York City that was made back in the 50s, and we cut back and forth 25 times from the film to Fred and I talking about the crisis that is being created by government bureaucrats in the shutdown, and what a tragedy that the studies are coming in, this one, that self-harm medical insurance claims for U.S. teenagers increased 99% during the pandemic. And this is a major study. They analyzed 32 billion private healthcare claim records. 32 billion. This is huge. So I want to share that with you. And also, I did ask Will Duffy for any insight, any tidbit that he might use during the debate that we could get a preview of, share with the audience. And he said he's not sure, but if anyone wants to see one of the consequences of believing that God lives his whole life as a single, simultaneous instant, that God is timeless, he's atemporal, then look at what St. Augustine said about God being able to speak when he said, "This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased." So I want to get to that, but first, this study, insurance claims for U.S. teenagers increased 99%. For public school teachers tuning in right now, that's doubled. For self-harm. The study is horrifying. So they report, and this is from Forbes, and we have the study itself here that we've reviewed, 35 pages. the COVID has had a devastating impact on the mental health of teenagers in our country and, of course, around the world. And this is what we warned about. The radio broadcast, by the time we had assembled 25 Ways the Shutdown Kills People, that was in May. A couple weeks later is when we uploaded the video to YouTube. And that's titled 25 Ways the Shutdown Kills People with a New York City epidemic movie. So real tragic now that this report, the study by the nonprofit Fair Health Group, found that overdoses, this is all for teenagers, overdoses, intentional self-harm, and this is not based on surveys, this is based on insurance claims, reimbursement claims, like, for example, people going to the emergency room because they just harmed themselves or tried to kill themselves, increases for substance use disorders, claims for depression, severe depression, anxiety disorders, all increased substantially in 2020 compared to the prior year. So insurance claims related to overdoses, for example, among teenagers, jumped 120%. So again, for public school teachers tuning in right now, what would that mean? That would mean in the year 2019, for every 1,000 kids who ended up with medical treatment related to overdoses, for every 1,000 kids the year earlier, in 2020, there were 2,200. So that's what that means, 120% increase. And when they analyzed these billions of healthcare records, they tracked month-by-month changes from January to November compared to the same period the year before. This is a serious study. Now, when we reported on this, that this was a major problem being created by their own edicts, we had only the earliest reports to go on, but coming from a biblical Christian worldview, we knew with a certainty that this would be one of the consequences of the mitigation effort, right? This would be one of the consequences. The most significant spikes were discovered early on in the pandemic. That makes sense, right? But overall, the number of insurance claims for mental health issues among young people ages 13 to 18 went up across the board. And why would the largest spikes happen early in the pandemic? Why would that be? Well, it's because the most vulnerable would succumb first. You know, economic activity, changes happen on the margins of economic activity. You pass a minimum wage law, and it's not going to cause everyone to get fired, and it's not going to stop the hiring of new people completely. But at the margins, people who may or may not be hired, you're going to find a significant effect of people not getting hired, new jobs not being created, because that's where economically changes happen on the margins, and here too. So the most vulnerable succumb first. And that's a lesson Cuomo learned, in fact, in New York, of the elderly, right? But it's a lesson the left is yet to acknowledge for the young. The harm from COVID is to the small percent of the population that show symptoms from the illness, right? Does that make sense? Whereas the lockdown harm is from the vastly larger pool of those hurt by the government's own edicts. And what that means is that the years of life lost from the virus versus the years of life lost from the shutdown, that is a trade-off that the left has never even acknowledged, but we've been warning about since last spring. Forbes, in reporting on this study, mentions also that the CDC, that's spelled S-E-E-D-Y, the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, had reported that the prevalence of depression in June 2020 was approximately four times higher than in the second quarter of 2019, with anxiety about three times higher. And these already had been considered an epidemic, a mental health epidemic in the country, especially among the young. And the government's mitigation efforts exacerbated an epidemic that we already were suffering from. And here's the big number that comes out of the report, the big number. Comparing August 2019 to August 2020, in the most godless region of the country. Now, the report doesn't put it that way. I'm putting it that way. It's the Northeast sector of the United States. For the age group 13 to 18, there was a 333% increase in intentional self-harm claims as a percentage of all medical claims, which marked the highest rate in any region in any month of 2020. So when you tell kids that they are animals, and when there is nothing to look forward to, only the bleakness, the despair of non-existence, right? And that's what you're taught from your government education, from your public school curriculum. There's no hope in God. We're not made in His image and likeness. There is no higher purpose to life. There's just eat or be eaten in a dog-eat-dog world, and then you die, and then that's it. And your grandfather died, and he's non-existent. There's nothing. Will you ever see him again? There's no hope. So, of course, today we are updating our list of the 25 ways the shutdown kills people, not with a new bullet item, because this was already there. Mental health issues was our number one issue out of 25, number one. And that doesn't just affect the elderly or overwhelmingly affect the elderly as COVID does, but it disproportionately affects the young. Wow. So we will update the list, not to add a new item, but just with new links to the tragic confirmation, corroboration of what we had reported. And that's something we do here at Bob Benyert Live. And those who supported us during last month's telethon, they know this, that for our, let's say, 40 or 50 most important issues that we've reported on over the decades, we have lists of the evidence or the consequences of controversial issues. We have gathered these lists, so we have a list of lists, at our website at kgov.com/lists, L-I-S-T-S. And we're known for that, and it takes a tremendous amount of effort, but it is so valuable. I had a world-renowned creation scientist this weekend call, and then we emailed back and forth, and he couldn't have been more thankful over the tools we provide on our website, including our custom Google searches using Google against Google. They left their back door open. He couldn't get over how powerful that search tool is. So it brings us a lot of joy when Christians tell us they were in conversations with friends, relatives, opponents, and they go to kgov.com and they find exactly the most powerful information up to date that they need to show this person that you do need to trust in God, because you're trusting in people who are not presenting you with the truth. They're presenting you with misinformation. So powerful. So now, I asked Will Duffy for a preview. By the way, his debate, it's tomorrow night. It's finally come, on God's relationship to time. It'll be live on YouTube at the Gospel Truth channel, and we will provide a link to it from today's show page and tomorrow. So just go to kgov.com, and you'll link right to the correct show page. You could find it right now today. But it's tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Mountain Time. We were talking about that before the show started. It was like the Cartoon Network launched, what, about 30 years ago? And they'd tell kids, tune in at 8, 7 Central. As though any of them knew what that meant. You know, tune in at 8, 7 Central. But we thought, sadly, here we are decades later, and many of those kids, they still don't know what that means because they became flat earthers. Now they have no idea what that means. In fact, if you recall, CNN reported that down in Brazil, 7% of adults believe the earth is flat. Is that stunning? Atheists in the science media, they like to say that this is a Christian movement. Of course, because they take every opportunity to mock Jesus Christ and his followers. But hey, there was a French study, and France is a totally secular nation except for Islam. There's a French study that reported 10% of the French doubt that the earth is a globe. 10%. And there was also a Science Alert report that here in the U.S., more than 2 million young adults claim the earth is flat. Is that too much? 2 million. So, of course, the church never taught the earth was flat throughout history. The Bible never taught the earth was flat. If it did, you would find church institutions, church leaders, rabbinical schools, and so on, teaching the earth was flat, and there are no such records. So if you'd like to see that documented by a California history professor, just go to our website, kgov.com/flat. And the creation movement has done a lot to rescue people's minds and their reputations out of that cult-like community, as we've done here also at kgov.com/flat. But sorry, what a rabbit trail that was, the debate. Tomorrow, Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Mountain Time, as the world turns. So I asked Will Duffy, Denver Bible Church's own Will Duffy, for a heads up on anything he might use in the debate. And he wasn't sure, but he did say this. He said, for people who believe that God has no change whatsoever, they tend to use terminology like atemporality, that there's no time, there are no sequences, that God lives the entirety of his life in a single simultaneous instant, so that there's no past or there's no future, there's only the eternal instantaneous now. Not now as in presentism, because our now is made up of an infinite number of moments in succession. That's not what they mean. They mean that God's life has only a single simultaneous instant. That's it. So that's weird, right? That's weird. And it's common for theologians, especially those who follow Augustine, to avoid the trap that he fell into when he wrote his book, Confessions of Augustine, in chapter 6. So Will Duffy said, well, I'm not quite sure what to give you as a preview, but here's the consequence of people who believe that God cannot experience any sequence. He said, remember what St. Augustine wrote in his book Confessions about God being able to speak, right? And this is really stunning. So we'll put a link to this in today's show summary at kgovkgov.com. But chapter 6 of his book, which I read years ago, Augustine wrote about the voice from heaven, from the cloud, saying of Jesus, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And Augustine writes that clearly God cannot say that. God can't do that because God can do nothing in sequence. So he cannot put one word after another. So it was probably an angel who said this on God's behalf. Now that's bizarre. True? That it's bizarre? Of course true. It's bizarre. So since then, It's not as though classical theologians don't have the same problem, but they've learned for Augustine and they don't admit the problem. They just skip it. But let me read to you from St. Augustine himself, who's considered to be the number one most influential Christian theologian in history. And that's if you exclude Plato, because he wasn't a Christian. But Augustine got much of his belief system from Plato and the Platonists, as he wrote in Confessions. And he even wrote that he interpreted the Bible based on Plato. So here's on the topic of, can God speak? He asks, but how did God speak? The voice came from the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That voice began and ended. See, for Augustine and Plato, that would be a problem because God is outside of time and he can't have any sequence. If you can't have any sequence, how do you talk? Can't talk. So Augustine continues, the syllables sounded and passed away, the second after the first, the third after the second, and so on. From this, it is clear and plain that it was the action of a creature, right? Not God. It couldn't have been God. God could not say, this is my beloved Son, because God can't do that. They say that we limit God. Could you imagine that? They say that we limit God and their God can't talk. How's that? They limit God. Not to mention one of their key doctrines is limited atonement. But when your depiction of God makes him more and more like a stone idol, right? Immutable, impassible, impeccable. Public school teachers, you got to look those up. But and can't talk. Stone idol can't talk. God says that in the Bible. He says, look at the stone idols. They can't talk. Well, Augustine, because he was following Plato and not the scriptures, because his commitment to Plato was intense, where he would misrepresent the scriptures in order to be loyal to Plato, Augustine imagined a God who could not talk. And so he said, it's got to be a creature itself in time, right? So he says, it's clear and plain that this voice was from the action of a creature itself in time, which sounded that voice. So in other words, God in his instantaneity, living his entire life as a single instant, as part of that, he planned the creation. And as part of that, he planned just at this moment, an angel would say this thing. You want to talk about bending over backwards to force the scriptures to comply with your secular philosophy? Wow. Augustine continues, was it decreed by thy word that a body might be made, like an angel's body, from which such words might come? Wow. And then he really twists himself into a knot because he asks, well, if God is timeless, which he must be, then how in the world could he even decree that an angel would utter words? How could he even do that? How could he even create? Right? How could he create? Unless Matt Slick was eternally coexistent with God so that God never had any choice and he never changed because Matt's always there. Boy, that's like being in hell almost. Hey, we're out of time. KGov.com. May God bless you.